the right, without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is David Duke on the Rinse Radio Satellite Network and reaching the entire world. I am hearing and getting letters and emails and communications from people literally in the four corners, even though that's kind of a misnomer to say corners when you say the globe, but the four corners of the earth. I'm talking about from the heart of Africa, from the heart of South America, Mexico, from Canada, from New Zealand, Australia, Southeast Asia. I've just got a bunch of emails from Malaysia. I had some emails yesterday from Thailand, a number from China. I've had some from what's called Mongolia in China. I've had a number of emails from throughout Russia, in fact, Siberia. The listening audience is just fantastic, and I'm really pleased that we're growing the way that we are because we're bringing up subjects and guests that are not brought up by the mainstream media. In fact, a lot of the alternative media doesn't really dare to discuss what we discuss here. In a few minutes, I'm going to bring on a friend and a man that I admire very much, Cameron Rudolph, a person who sacrificed for our beliefs. And I have to do my prologue I have to give you a basic understanding of the news as I see it every day. People are expecting that, and then we're going to bring on Cameron. But I want to say from the beginning that he has suffered a lot for his honesty and his courage, and I've suffered a bit myself. I mean, I've seen the inside of a lot of jails and had my character besmirched and run through the mud many years because I dare to breach the facts of the evil of international Zionism and Jewish extremism and the threat to this world, the war, the destruction of our morality, our values, the beauty, our art, our literature, our music, our architecture, and even the health of the people of the earth, the preservation of different peoples on the planet, and the rights of independence and freedom for every people. And I do believe that the European people are on the front line of this danger because we have been a target of the Jewish extremists because they needed to control the West and its military and social, political and economic might in order to enforce their Zionist dreams in the Middle East, their criminal actions against the Palestinians, their wars, such as what they're trying to pervade right now against Iran, and as they helped formulate against Iraq and Afghanistan. And I really understand that these questions are critical, and so for them to gain the power that they've done in the Western media, which is really in many ways the world media, the Hollywood media is a world media, and by the way, it doesn't preach the values and the ideals of humanity, but the lowest common denominators of humanity. They're also promoting massive immigration and migration of peoples, which is causing tension, hatreds, violence, and conflicts in society, because the truth is that societies that are composed of the same basic values tend to be more harmonious. That's just reality. Now, you can fight against that reality and say, we shouldn't be that way, or we can accept the reality and try to construct societies and encourage societies that encourage a more harmonious type of society. Everywhere we look in the world, we have the same kind of manipulation going on by the Jewish extremists. Here's a couple things I want to bring up to you today. There are new steps right now in Israel. They're taking steps to ward off a so-called demographic threat to the nation's existence as a majority. Of course, everywhere else in the world, Jewish extremists are at the forefront of opposing any attempts by other peoples to emulate that example. And in fact, they're really falsifying a lot of the statistics. They try to say there's a great demographic threat to Israel. But in the reality of it, I can give you those facts right now, which are very interesting. Statistics show that over the past decade, a total of 1,568,938 people were born in Israel, including 1,157,517 Jews, 387,000 Muslims, and only 24,000 Christians. Now, since the beginning of 2011, and that's just the latest statistics, 107,000 approximately Jewish babies were born, a significantly higher number than the 30,000 Muslims and the 1,800 Christians who were born this year. According to statistics, in Israel in 2001, 69% of all newborns in Israel were Jewish, while 28% were Muslim and 1.9% Christian. However, in 2010, right, just 9 years later, 76% of all babies born in Israel were Jewish, while only 22% were Muslim and 1.3% Christian. So in reality, Israel is becoming more Jewish, not less Jewish. But they continue to talk about this threat, which is truly non-existent right now for Israel, in order to shore up and have more draconian laws about immigration of non-Jews to Israel. And that is a perfect example. Now, at the same time they do that, and you hear that about this demographic threat to Israel quite a bit, and the President of the United States comes out and says, well, he says, we're for Israel as a, quote, Jewish state. Right, at the very same time that they talk about this, they try to downplay and they say that immigration is a great blessing for America, a blessing for Europe, when, of course, we can see the riots, we can see the disharmony, we can see the fractured politics, we can see the incredible problems on the horizon in Europe. Now, this isn't to put down or demean any of the people that are coming in, because people are going to come in to any land where they can get a better economy, where they can have more possessions and a better life for their children. But it is responsibility of a country to protect and preserve the interests of its own people. This is a natural thing. And it's certainly in the interest of the European people and the American people to preserve their nation, just as any people in the Middle East will do. I've talked about this a lot. I've of course, spoken in many Middle Eastern countries at many universities. I've been invited there to speak. And in almost every case, I get up and they usually invite me because of my anti-Zionism and pro-Palestinian position. And my opposition to the policies of Europe and America in terms of the Middle East. But I always tell them, I say, let me be very clear to you that I am a European, I'm a European Christian, and I want to preserve my heritage in Europe and America. And I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody here in this country, in this university, is there anybody here that would support this university or this nation becoming overwhelmingly European Christian rather than whatever the country is, whether, say, Libyan Muslim or Syrian Muslim or whatever? Is there anybody here that would support that? Anybody here that thinks that's a good thing? And nobody, of course, stands up. Nobody stands up because this is the most natural point of view in the world. And then I say, well, then I hope that you can respect me as a European, non-Muslim Christian, how that I want to preserve my heritage as well, and I hope that you can respect me for that and understand that every people on the planet have that right. And in every case where I've said this, this has been about, I think, about seven universities now, they've totally risen from their seats, given me applause, and applauded me. And I think most people on Earth understand this. Now, the difference is, of course, you have it's a big difference, though, in a nation that's been overwhelmingly of a certain percentage, and there always has been migrations in the history of the world into different countries. No question about that. Historically, there have been migrations, and there's been a lot of fighting because of it, and there's also been imperialism. But when you've had a nation existing for many hundreds of years and people born for many hundreds of generations in a nation, And then you have a policy that's trying to upset that with mass migration today. Obviously, you've got a real problem. And Israel, of course, is creating their ethno-state by dispossessing the Palestinian people, suppressing them, and murdering them, imprisoning them, even torturing them in the attempt to create this state. And, of course, the hypocrisy is rife. If they want their own state, there are some places in the world that would welcome immigration from an economic standpoint. There are some accommodations that can be set up in certain places, maybe even in the Middle East, if they came there not to try to control other people and to work out these issues by negotiation, not by threat and by suppression. And, of course, it's really amazing that this hypocrisy goes on. The next subject I want to talk about for a second, then we'll bring on my guest, is, in fact, I want to get his comments on this or any other thing that I speak about here, because we talked a lot about my history and his history and some of the persecutions we've endured. But today I want to talk about current events, and I want to get his views because he's a very good, I think he's a great thinker, an independent thinker on many subjects. We might not always agree in every subject, but I think he is an incredible analytical and scientifically minded person. Now, he mentioned in the last program a bit. In fact, I ran an article on this because this interested me, and a couple of my associates worked hard, and we did some research on it. And we've discovered the new political director of Germany's Pirate Party. Now, the Pirate Party basically was founded on the principle of freedom of speech. In fact, there's probably a lot of Germans who are tired of this anti-German, really anti-European bias of politics and the media in their country, that they like a party that stands up for more freedom of speech, intellectual honesty, intellectual freedom, not suppression of opinions. And they're even in favor, of course, of weakening copyright laws because they think that ideas should be spread for free. The ideas should go around the world on the basis of their power and their logic and their appeal rather than an economic motive. Well, it turns out that this party, which has got a lot of good things to say, is pretty much now the most well-known figure in the party, is in fact a Russian Jewess who emigrated to that country in the 1990s. She loves Israel and intends to visit the Zionist homeland as soon as possible. Her name is Marina Weisband, and she's 25, and an article in the Times of Israel. And this is, again, we get most of our press and most of the honesty of our press. It's amazing. I have to share with Europeans and Americans the Israeli press to find the truth about things. You don't get much of this in the German press. You get some of it. If it's done, it's in a very complimentary manner. But the Times of Israel has announced that, quote, she was born in Kiev and, like tens of thousands of other Russian-speaking Jews, immigrated to Germany in the 1990s. And the Pirate Party, I think in the German it's Piratenpartei, that it's gone global. They got chapters all over the world, from Bosnia to Bolivia. But interestingly enough, the Pirate Party now is starting to try to suppress even free speech and free discussion among its own ranks, believe it or not. And the party is basically endorsing the right of the government to physically repress and put people in prison for having the wrong opinion. The influence, it seems, from these Jewish extremists and these people loyal to Israel and the Jewish extremist ideology and Zionism, it seems to be so pervasive in our society. It seems that you dig around and you look to a certain problem in an organization or a party or a program, and there you find, again, this malevolent force that is supporting exactly the opposite of these kinds of policies in the nation that they want to visit and they support. Israel, as you know, is a nation that is dedicated to the survival and the interests of the Jewish people. They even are trying to make Palestinians swear to support Israel as a Jewish state. Could you imagine making an oath in Europe or Germany to support Germany as a German state, not a state for other peoples? Our states are based on some sort of a citizenship, which is not supposed to be based on ethnicity, and yet they support this. The hypocrisy is rife. Now, I'm going to introduce now to you again the gentleman that I had on just the other day. I'm so glad to have him so soon on these on some of these major issues. And his name, again, is Gammer Rudolph. And he has suffered a lot, but I believe this, and I hope that he'll find agreement with me in this, that no matter how much time he spent in prison or jail, no matter how many tribulations he has gone through, that his life is still good. He still finds a satisfaction in his life, kind of a joy in his life for standing up for the truth and freedom. Everybody who supports our cause doesn't have to go to jail like I've gone or like he's gone. Doesn't have to go through the terrible trials and tribulations that we've faced. But even Gammer Rudolph, and I speak for him, I believe, but I'd like to get his opinion on this in a moment. And I know myself that there are still so many things we can find beautiful in this world. There's so many great pieces of literature we can read, great works of art we can gaze upon, great spirits and great people we can understand from and learn from and enjoy. Beautiful women in our lives, in our wives and loved ones that we can appreciate, our children, that there's a lot in this world to live for. And no one has to be a great victim in this cause. The truth is there have been people in prison for years who've come out of prison with a right countenance and with a sense that they're glad they're alive and that their lives have purpose. And that's what I believe in. It's kind of like the bumper music for this program. And so I introduce to you, and with I welcome his comments on my opening comments. And his name is Gammer Rudolph. He's a fine scientist who's become devoted to what he sees as the truth or the realities of the modern world. Gammer, glad to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. I've said a lot there in the introduction, so why don't you just take a little freewheeling moments to discuss any of these in whatever order that you – why don't you start by the purpose of your life and, you know, are you a person that has a degree of satisfaction? And do you, can a person have our beliefs and still find, in a sense, a degree of satisfaction and happiness in their lives? I'd like to ask that question. That may be a question you've never been asked before.
Can a person be happy if he has a view that runs contrary to what the majority in its environment, in his environment, holds to be true?
And
that's a good question.
If he suffers for that, and if he has some problems and trials and tribulations because of that, can he still be fundamentally satisfied in his soul, in his spirit?
Yeah. Well, there are always things in life that are free of ideology, let's say it that way. And these spheres, you should keep free of them and you should keep enjoyable. I think the biggest mistake you can make is if you look at all the things in your life through the glasses of your struggle, whatever it may be. So you need to be able to turn it off. I found one important thing in my case to have a girl or a woman on my side that is not in the struggle. Now that may be true for me, that may not be a match for others, for the simple reason that I need to have somebody on my side that gets me down, back to earth, down to earth, mm-hmm. to reality, away from any ideological, political, scientific, whatever struggle it is, and just to focus on the very basics of life, of family, of love, of affection, of just the daily routine of a regular life. And having a family, a wife, children, that is for me very important to be rooted in a normal life. It gives me a feeling of normalcy and of happiness. And to keep these two spheres apart, so I'm not trying to drag anyone in the family into it. They know what I think about issues, and sometimes we touch upon it when it comes up, but usually we don't necessarily go there because, for myself too, if I had some partner on my side who would constantly pour oil into the fire, I don't think that would be good. But that's my personal choice.
Yeah, it's very important, I think, for people in our movement, whether it be male or female, to to make sure that the person they choose as their partner, and that they show their affections upon, that they can at least, they don't have to agree with everything you agree with, but they have to at least agree that your life, that you're devoted to these principles, and that you want to raise your children with these principles, and that they have to be tolerant of that, right? I mean, that's a really critical issue.
That's absolutely true. The tolerance, of course, needs to be there, or otherwise a family can't function. And another issue that I found very important is to be able to close the chapter after you've suffered, after, like I've done, gone through prison regimens for many years and other kinds of persecution and prosecution. You can't dwell on it, and you can't hold a grudge against people, against systems, and whatever. You need to somehow file it away, look forward to the beautiful things in life and focus on these things. That's where happiness lies, just by focusing on the positive things and not constantly dwell on and wallow in the misery of the past, or even if you have some problems in the present, not to completely focus on them. So this is, I think, very important.
Very interesting point. You know, when I was in, when I got out of my time in the American Gulag, I found that my experience actually made me stronger and made me appreciate the cause I was in even more. It made me more appreciate the life and the freedom that I did have and the beauty of life. And it actually encouraged me in my life to be more productive. I think I've been more productive since. Okay, we'll be back in a second, Guillermo, and people at home, wherever you are in the world or at work listening, we'll be back in a few minutes with Guillermo Rudolph, and we'll start talking about political issues when we come back from these words. And I know if I'll only be true glorious quest, but my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest, and the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Keep on looking for the light.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not too late. We should be giving. We should be helping to make a new world, and that's what we're about on this program. I think that's what Gammer Rudolph has been about in his life. It's certainly what I'm about in my life. I want a world where young people have incredible potential, that we have a world of decency and morality, of good employment, good health, and real values, so that we live for something positive and real freedom. And independence, not this endless war that we've suffered in the Middle East, and not the suppression of the human spirit and conscience and right to express itself that we've seen in many Western nations and other nations around the world. We believe here that everybody has the right and every people has a right to preserve itself and be independent and honor and enhance its own particular expressions of humanity. That's truly the greatness of humanity, is the fact that it has these different expressions. And if you suppress or destroy some of the ethnic suppressions of humanity, basically you suppress and you destroy humanity itself. Humanity, as we always say here, is not one, it's many. We have a common ideal in that we want all to be free. We all want to have our own expressions, but we are, in fact, different. We have certain differences in the way we want our government, our society, our culture, and the like. Now, before we go back into the politics, I just wanted to add one more thing about the how we deal with it. As he said, family is so important, to have someone you love, and even family is so important for our people. It's very depressing what I do. I mean, I read these articles, and 95% of the things I read in the newspapers are so depressing about some new degeneracy, some new destructiveness, some new war, some new repression, some new human rights violation. And it's not always the one that the media talks about with the violations. I find a number of different things for that. Again, it's to have love in your life, to have family. Another aspect is to have physical fitness and to exercise. Exercise helps lessen stress. I also believe that when you can, no matter where you live, get out at least once a week, go into the country, go into nature, experience the beauty of nature, and it kind of gives you a sense of grounding and value system. And finally, to try to adopt a diet that gives you health, because if you're physically harmed by the food you eat and by the lifestyle you have, or you become overweight or anemic in some other way, that you really destroys also your mental attitude as well. Okay, Gamera, let's go into the politics in here, and I'd like you to make some comments. You're saying on the last program we were together a couple of days ago, how that even the opposition seems to be controlled to a degree. The Germany's Pirate Party even had a particular resolution, which here's an organization devoted to freedom of speech, but they had a resolution basically canceling out human rights and freedom of speech within the organization. Could you tell us about that again, please?
Yes. I must say, in general, I'm a little bit detached of what's going on in Germany simply because it drives me up the wall what's going on there. As a German, I am too deeply emotionally involved to actually be able to put up with it all, so usually I keep a distance. But at that particular occasion, I couldn't, because I got a notification by my server that they're about to shut down my website because the bandwidth was exhausted. I thought, what? I never had much traffic on the site. So I went there and I saw this huge peak of traffic, and I thought, what's going on? But it didn't take much Googling to find out that one former top party member of this new party of rebels, of wannabe rebels in Germany, had made the quote-unquote mistake some 4 years ago or so to send an email to a party email list where he said that something to the effect, oh, well, so far I thought that the Holocaust deniers are all lunatics. But then I read the book by Gemma Rudolph, and it sounds very reasonable what he's writing when you look at it objectively. Now, that cost the guy an awful lot of trouble, and they tried to throw him out of the party. And the final decision of the internal party cord, or what do you want to call it, came out just a week or two ago, and they couldn't throw him out on a technicality. But the whole thing got went through the German media and caused a stink there. All they are Holocaust deniers in that new party. That's a scandal. They have neo-Nazis, right-wing extremists, and the whole gamut of swear words that they throw at people with different opinions. So that's where my spike of traffic came, because my name was quoted by the media in that context just by quoting the guy's email text. Mm-hmm. And then I saw what's going on there. So the party itself felt obligated, due to the massive media pressure, to make a public statement against revisionism, against dissident views on Third Reich history or World War II history. And so they did, with 1,399 votes against one, that it is impermissible from the party standpoint to use the cover of free speech in order to deny or relativize the Holocaust. So they agree that it is impermissible, that is to say that the government has the right to prosecute people who voice dissent on that particular point. Now, it's not the only point in Germany where dissent can get you in jail, but it's the most controversial one. And it's kind of a joke that exactly that party has been trying to get votes over the past month or years with the slogan that thoughts are free, which is a line from a very famous German song. Mm-hmm. And now they're going exactly the opposite way. But objectively seen, whether this new party leader is actually Jewish by descent or not, if a party in Germany does not make a statement publicly like they did, they're basically going to be ostracized, persecuted, marginalized, and destroyed as an opposition party. It has happened to many others before, so they knew either we are making a statement now, or we're going to be in a bad shape and going to be destroyed. So that's what
they work, huh?
Hypocrisy and democracy are synonyms, aren't they?
Yeah, seems that way these days.
Yeah, for the most part. Democracies is liked by the leader as long as the voters vote for the parties they want them to vote for.
Yeah, I remember when Haider was basically elected to lead Austria. And at that point, and he was democratically, you know, his party democratically had won the right for his party to have the head of the country. And I remember when the rest of Europe then started threatening Austria and said that, if he's put in as the leader of your country, then we're going to have sanctions against you. We're going to stop trade with you. We're going to ban you from meetings and everything like that. And this is people that talk about democracy. And eventually he had to step down, and they had to put another person in there, because otherwise Austrians would have been basically extorted into no freedom of speech.
Yeah, there are several more examples. I remember, was it in 2003, 2004, something like that, that in Belgium, the Vlaams Blok, which is a movement, they have changed their name since, but which is a movement that tried to preserve European identity in Belgium, and actually they're a separatist movement. They want to get the Vlaams, which are basically Dutch, away from the Walloons, which are French. Belgium is kind of an artificial state. They never got along with each other. And when they actually managed to become the strongest party in the country in that one election, a few weeks later, they were outlawed. The government banned them before they could take over the government. Actually, as a result of that election, the party was banned. And the same year or around that time, it happened in Britain that the British National Party had major victories, relatively seen, in some districts in England. And a few days after their victory, or a short time thereafter, the party leaders were arrested. Or look in Algeria. When was that? End 90s at some point? Early, I can't mm-hmm. remember anymore. It was when the Algerian people voted for democratically for a fundamentalist Muslim government. They had a coup d'etat financed by the CIA to get rid of this democratically elected government, and so on and on and on.
But that also happened in Iran, too.
In Iran, 53, yes.
Okay, yes. We're going to come back in a minute, Gammer, and with more commentary from you and from me. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after these messages into our final segment. The show goes pretty fast because this is a very interesting program for sure. We'll be back in a minute.
Oh, can't you see the morning after? It's waiting right outside the storm. Why don't we cross the bridge together and find the place that's safe and warm? It's not too late. We should be giving.
This is David Duke again. I was wondering if you have seen yet my videos and documentaries. On my particular channel, I now have 4.5 million views. It's pretty amazing. But even more amazing is that hundreds of people have taken it upon their own initiative to take my lectures, my debates, my appearances, my broadcasts, and make videos out of them, independent videos. And now there are over 6,000 videos of my appearances and my work, well over 250 million views worldwide and growing. My videos have an average of over 90% positive ratings. Please go to my website, davidduke.com, and check out my videos, subscribe, and please tell your friends and relatives about this program. You and I together can change the world.
Remember this name, Carnivora. That's carnivora.com. What if I told you that this 100% pure and natural product was delivered directly to the White House at President Reagan's personal request at a time when only the president was able to obtain it? Reagan used this amazing product, Carnivora, successfully, a product derived only from nature that has the intelligence to instinctively attack abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell, and the power to actually wake up critical immune cells from dormancy to attack foreign invaders that don't belong in our bodies. Carnivora is now obtainable by anyone who wants to get healthy and stay that way. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY and protect yourself with 17 naturally occurring compounds that will unleash powerful immune defense. That's 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY and get your Carnivora today. Visit carnivora.com.
Hello, this is David Duke. I want to give you a free gift of an audio edition of my worldwide bestseller, My Awakening. This book is about awakening to the real world, exposing the lies of the Zionist-controlled media. Now, putting my 740-page book into audio was a huge task. It's the length of at least 10 typical audio books. But I promise it will keep you on the edge of your seat, and it's like a college education on these issues. To download the book completely free, you must use a file share program like uTorrent. Details are on my website. Or you can order the book on a DVD data disc for $20. I also have a beautiful hardback edition available at $35, the same price as Amazon, but ordering from my office helps us more, and you may value the fact that I personally autograph each copy. I guarantee that after you finish this book, you will never again see the world in the same way.
There must be something worth living for. There must be something worth trying for. Even something's worth dying for. And if one man can stand tall, there must be hope for us all. Somewhere in the spirit of.
Okay, we're back with this is David Duke, of course, and with Gamma Rudolph. And We were talking earlier about how we deal with some of the pressures and the depression, really, from seeing a world of violence and blood and degeneracy and destruction. In fact, destruction of some of the most beautiful peoples and heritages and values on the earth. How do we deal with that? And one way we can deal with that is by being eclectic about our music and finding music, both classical, contemporary, country, whatever, but finding music that gives us power, that inspires us and touches our souls and spirit. That's another way that I deal with it. I try to keep my, nowadays with MP3, I try to keep my music on hand. And even when I have a bad mood, I don't want to be, or a depressing mood, I don't want to be chained by that. I know that I can be affected by music, so I put on some music that inspires me. And it helps break that mood. And this is a very good technique that people can use around the world. Whether or not in your politics, this is true about anything that you're endeavoring in your life, or you're having struggles or problems with. Guillermo, let's talk about some of these hypocrisies. We were talking about democracy, and I'd like to start by mentioning, let's take a look at so much of the hypocrisy of Israel. I mean, how many times you hear it every day, repeated in thousands of media outlets, programs, discussion programs, how Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, how Israel's a democracy and this and that. But of course, they basically have Gaza, meaning have people in a concentration camp. They can't even get free trade in their country. They can't even leave or come into the country freely. They are walled off. It's like a huge concentration camp. You got the West Bank, which the Israelis essentially control, and the movement in the West Bank while they're stealing the Palestinian land. And so these are people totally controlled by another nation. This nation, Israel, and its influence of the Zionists in America and Europe have even prevented Palestine from having a state. So these Palestinian citizens, they can't even get a passport because they're not allowed to create a Palestinian state, but at the same time, they tell the Palestinians they have to accept the Jewish state. The whole thing's insane. And so even the talking and saying that Israel's a democratic state is insane. Let's talk about that hypocrisy and some of the other hypocrisies that might come to mind in the world today.
Yes, well, first of all, I want to prevent on any circumstances that anyone gets the wrong impression, like when I say democracy is hypocrisy. Everyone is against hypocrisy, so I must be against democracy. I'm not. The way democracy is lived, defined, and handled by the powers that be nowadays is what I'm opposed to. Real democracy does not interfere with the people's wish if they voice a wish that the powers, that those in power don't like. So it's just a different concept of democracy that I prefer over what is practiced nowadays. Now, coming to Israel, I remember in the early years of my struggle, I was contacted by a German Jew or a Jewish German, whichever you want to look at it, and he wanted to find out for himself who I am, because by that time, that was in 94, I think, that was 2 years into my persecution, into my activity, and parallel to that, the persecution. He had heard about me in the media, and we met and we talked. And it's an interesting statement that he made. He turned it kind of upside down for me, but he said basically, National Socialism is Judaism for non-Jews. Now, to get that straight is to say basically the Jewish religion, the Jewish ideology, is comparable to National Socialism, to Nazism, whatever you want to call it, in terms of considering your own people supreme, chosen, and having the right to trample upon everyone else, to kill them, murder them, expel them, ethnically cleanse them, not giving them a voice, not giving them a right to vote. That's the kind of idea we have about National Socialism. That's what the Germans allegedly did during the Second World War with other people. Whether or not that is right is a point that could be argued, but I don't want to do it. That's the cliche the world has in mind when they think about Nazis. And that's exactly applying to Israel. And that's what the guy said. National Socialism is Judaism for non-Jews, because the Jews were the original Nazis. They invented that 2,500 years ago and have practiced it ever since.
Yeah,
and that's
certainly
the result.
Yeah, well, even the genocidal practices that you see in the Talmud and the Torah perfect examples of that. And of course, the Nazis are presented as genocidal. There is a big difference, though. I must say this in it, as far as my perspective is that the National Socialists were kind of upfront about what they believed, whereas the Jewish extremists, the supporters of Israel, operate under a tremendous guise of deceit. They tell the world how democratic they are, while they're obviously not democratic, while they torture tens of thousands of people and murder people and take other people's land and so forth. They tell the world how they act like they're the great guardians of human freedom and independence and human rights. And yet they use these things as particular weapons to undermine nations around the world and gain control of those nations for their own particular ethnic supremacism. And that is a big difference. And
maybe that's because they're smarter. Maybe they are supreme because they're so smart they got away with it 2,500 years. Who else could have gotten away with it that long?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a question of smart or a different morality. A lot of people say Jews are smarter, of course. You know, they're still a tiny percentage of the population. Even if they are 10 points smarter in IQ on average, they shouldn't be overrepresented by 5,000%, key positions in media or finance or government. It's a team effort and it's a morality. And basically, Europeans have had, including probably the National Socialists, had a much more open morality. If you have an honest respect of your own people, and you have a love of your people, and you have a natural, healthy connection with the land and nature, and you respect your own race, you have a tendency to respect other people who respect their race. But the Zionists don't seem to have any respect for anybody other than Jews, unfortunately. And of course, I think a lot of Jews are victims of that, too. And we must say that. I mean, they're kind of trapped in the situation as well. But all the major Jewish organizations are supporting this supremacy. But it is interesting, the hypocrisy. And no, I don't think it's because I don't think their power is a result of their being smarter. Their power is a result of a different morality than us and a different ethic and ethnic value system than we have.
We won't come to a conclusion today talking about why things are as they are, fact is they are as they are. And one real eye-opener for me in this whole story was a documentary called Defamation by a young Israeli filmmaker. I don't know if you have ever seen it.
I saw that. Very good film.
Yes, and how Jews are being brainwashed with Holocaust propaganda, scared to death, that the whole world tries to kill them. And this is kind of a strategy that Jewish leaders have employed for centuries, if not millennia, trying to portray the surrounding world, the other religious or ethnic groups, as a constant threat, so that the sheep of their congregations or their communities would stay close by ideologically and physically, and would do everything their leaders want. And it's a very effective strategy. It doesn't work today anymore with religious dogmatism, but it does work with historical dogmatism.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holocaust has become as an ideology, whether portraying events accurately or not, but it is a tool to keep the Jewish sheep in the pen and keep them scared, because it works in America. Ever since 9/11, the American people has been scared of terrorist attacks, so it lets the government get away with all sorts of acts that under normal circumstances they wouldn't put up with. And so it's been the same with the Jews ever since the Second World War. Their leaders have engaged in instilling fear in them, because people who are afraid are easy to rule.
You know, it's been said, and I think you've written about this some too, that regardless of the facts of the historical aspects of the Holocaust is truly today becoming kind of a new religion, in a sense, not just for the Jews, but for the Western world. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as early as 93, 94, I've made some research about that. It was actually in context with my with my first trial. I remember I was accused of anti-Semitic propaganda. And at that point, I had not even looked into Jewish issues. It was, for me, it was a scientific question that I was investigating. I was not interested in religious or ethnic issues. And so I was confronted with these accusations. And so I went into the library and looked up things and found out, to my amazement, what people have thought about that centuries ago and what people think about that today. In particular, that I find most convincing, if you go to Jewish critics, particularly those in Israel who see what the Israeli society and the state are doing to Palestinians, how they criticize not just the government, but start criticizing the Jewish religion, the Jewish attitude, with similar arguments as you can find them.
That's our sound. You know, the discussion is so interesting. I'd like to continue this discussion tomorrow with you. I didn't plan on this, but we do have an opening tomorrow at this time. If you'd like to, we'll come on tomorrow and we'll discuss some more of these political issues and some of these very fascinating subjects, if you're available then. Are you available tomorrow?
No, I'm going to be on the road tomorrow, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, then we'll pick it up maybe again, maybe sometime next week. We'll work better for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for today. It's been a great program. Thanks again to Gemma Rudolph for sharing with us his intelligent and brilliant insights into the world. Ladies and gentlemen, keep on thinking free, and we'll be back again tomorrow with a great program, one more groundbreaking program for you and for the world.
That we can restore to life the light that we have lost.
This is David Duke again. I was wondering if you have seen yet my videos and documentaries. On my particular channel, I now have 4.5 million views. It's pretty amazing. But even more amazing is that hundreds of people have taken it upon their own initiative to take my lectures, my debates, my appearances, my broadcasts, and make videos out of them, independent videos. And now there are over 6,000 videos of my appearances and my work. Well over 250 million views worldwide and growing. My videos have an average of over 90% positive ratings. Please go to my website, davidduke.com, and check out my videos, subscribe, and please tell your friends and relatives about this program. You and I together can change the world.
When it comes to silver and gold investing, you have to go with somebody you trust, somebody who understands financial planning, economics, and history. In the late 1990s, Paul Drochten predicted that gold and silver would be the number one growth investment opportunity of the future, and he was right on the mark. Paul began helping his clients and friends make the conversion, and instead of losing money, they have all realized returns as high as 300%. Paul Drochten is now forecasting massive returns on gold and silver bullion in the coming months. Paul's foresight and vision were 2020, and his track record is perfect. You can email him at pdrochten@aol.com. That's Drochten, D-R-O-C-K-T-O-N. And let Paul help you. There is still time. So email Paul for a completely free, no-strings consultation at pdrochten@aol.com.
You're listening to the Rents Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide.